Good morning, everyone. Okay, let's start with a prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for another day of life. We praise you and we thank you for this time that we can come and pray. Oh Lord, there are not that many of us here this morning, but you've promised us that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there in the midst of us. And if we pray and we are in agreement with anything that is in your will, Lord, you are going to answer it. And so, Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that your Spirit would be here and that you would touch our hearts with what we each need to hear so that we can move forward and progress in a relationship with you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, good morning. So today, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about this subject. And, you know, the subject is not necessarily of mental health, but I just thought to show how important it is, I would mention the statistic that in 2014, they found out that 20% of Americans were diagnosed with any mental health illness. And so one out of five people, anxiety, depression, you know, these types of things. So those are people who are actually diagnosed. But it's going to be far greater the number of people who suffer with emotional health problems, right? And fear is one of the biggest reasons why people have this. If you look at why people develop schizophrenia and you know, anxiety, these types of things, addictions, I mentioned anxiety and depression, obesity and eating disorders. How many of us, I was talking to some people last night, you know, we have issues with food. We have a relationship with food, right? And so I was talking to you yesterday about how smoking, you know, we say, okay, you can't get baptized until we stop smoking. But then they come into the church and they develop a relationship with something else, right? Because they haven't learned to develop that relationship with Jesus. And so even though we stop smoking and all of that, it doesn't mean that people have learned to have that relationship with Jesus. And so we want to be very aware of these things. And the other thing that happens is that people feel helpless and paralyzed. And so then they develop issues that they need medications for. They have insomnia, they are worried, they're nervous, and then they go into their doctor and they say, I need something to help me make it through life. And I just wondered, how is it for us? Is it any different for us as Adventists? You know, the promises of God we say are true. We say, you know, like I love these promises. Psalms 4, verse 8. I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. How many of us have difficulty sleeping at night because we are thinking about things? You know, we're having difficulty with our brain turning off. It's not because we need a tranquilizer. It's because we need something that's going to give us the truth in God and that we're actually going to believe it, right? The reason that I love the health message is because when we get used to obeying God's word in this area of our lives, we get used to obeying God's word in other areas of our lives, and we will find that our minds start thinking differently. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And what's that song? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. You know, we obey because we trust. And when we don't obey, and when we see frank disobedience, it's simply because we have not learned to trust in the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this, For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, of love, and of a sound mind. You know, I talk before you today, and many of you think, wow, Joyce, you know, you look like such a strong person, right? I was a very different person. And the reason I can talk to you today and I have such confidence and I'm so, you know, like I want everybody to hear this because God has transformed my life. I am a different person than I was 10 years ago. I'm a different person than I was 5 years ago. And I see what Satan has tried to do, but I know the power of God to transform someone's life. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, this is powerful. You know, when, if you look at the first chapter of Joshua, when God was telling him, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And you might think, how is that a promise? That's just God telling him what to do. But, you know, God commands us to do that which he will enable us to do. So when God commands you to do something, you know, a lot of you last night when I was talking, some of the times when people hear something about the health message, they feel overwhelmed. They're like, how am I going to do this with my diet? How am I going to do this with my food? How am I going to do this with my family, my kids, all this stuff? And what I tell them is, you know, whenever we get to these points where we feel discouraged or afraid, this is Satan simply trying to hold us back. You know, and at those points, you say, God, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm going to move forward trusting in you. Fear is the result of an incorrect pattern of thought. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 10, we find when fear came into the human psyche. And you see what Adam said when God was calling to him in the Garden of Eden. And God was like, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, God, I heard your voice. And it made me afraid. And that is a very incorrect pattern of thought, isn't it? And it caused Adam to see who he was, and he was naked, right? It never caused him to have shame before. And it caused him to run from God. You see, when the Holy Spirit works differently, the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin, right? Conviction is simply when we realize our true condition. But the Holy Spirit is always wanting us to turn to the Lord. And Satan is always wanting us to look at our own sin and shame and guilt and hide. You see. And so fear, I was always wondering about fear, because fear is something that many of us who suffer with depression and anxiety, you know, we think, oh, that person is so good. Like if you hear me speaking, you might think, oh, Joyce is such a strong person. She's so good. You know, and then you might think, I don't have that. Right? And that, you think, that's humility. But that is not. That's not correct thinking. In Revelations, if you look at the chapter 21, I do have it here. But I like to look for it there. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You know, I was very surprised when I saw this, because I was like, what's so bad about being fearful? Is it so bad to be fearful that you're going to be in the lake of fire with all the murderers and Hitler and everybody? What is so bad about being fearful? Why is it the first person? You know, when you look at ingredients in a box, you know, it's like the thing that there's the most of is like listed first. And I'm like, you know, this is the first thing that's listed in those people who are not saved, is being fearful. And I think the reason that it is because the result of it is so bad. You look at Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 21. Let's actually go there to Deuteronomy chapter 1. And what was happening in the first chapter of Deuteronomy? This was when Moses was talking to the Israelites, and he was telling them before, you know, he was saying, you know, I'm not going to be able to go with you into the promised land. But I'm going to tell you everything that has happened in your history. You know, what happened is that God brought us to the point where we were going to enter into this promised land. We had spies who went into the land, 12 spies, and they came back and they told us, this is a really good land. And how many of us feel that we are at the brink of going into a promised land that God has promised us? Amen? This is a really good land. And in verse 21, it says, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." But what happened was that in verse 26, he says, "Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God." Why? Because of fear. And because of that fear, it changed how you thought about God. Because you murmured in your tents and you said, "The Lord hates us. And he's brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us." Fear will cause you to disobey the Lord and then to blame him for it. It will change how you view Jesus. And I have seen this in people when they don't want to do something, they will fear and they will bring up all kinds of reasons why it's not possible for them. That's why the health message is the gospel in practice. Because when I talk to some people about the health message and they say, "But that's impossible for me. I work full time. I have kids I have to take care of. I have this and this and this." And we are looking at the things that make it impossible, the obstacles to that better land. If God cannot do something here on this earth, something so small as fixing an addiction that we have, a taste for something that we love rather than Jesus, if God cannot do that here, how can we expect something great that we've never seen before? An addiction is great only in your own mind. It is nothing for the Lord. And the reason that fear is such a terrible thing is that it causes us to fail to accomplish God's will for your life. It causes us to give in to Satan so that our voice is silenced. And we cannot accomplish that what God put us on this earth to do. I quoted this yesterday. Heavenly intelligences are waiting to cooperate with human instrumentalities that they may reveal to the world what human beings may become. Oh, this is so powerful, isn't it? Have we seen what a human being can become? You know, and not just for ourselves. When I presented this one, someone came up to me and said, "You know, I really resonated with your sermon. There was this promotion that I should have gone for, and, you know, I never did." Because in a worldly sense, we're thinking of what great things we can accomplish for the Lord. And it says here, "What through union with the divine may be accomplished for the saving of souls who are ready to perish." How many people can we save for Jesus? You know, when people say, "Joyce, you're doing so much," or whatever, and I say, "You know what? Like, in business, I've been taking some classes because I'm trying to do this online thing, right? I'm taking this class on how to do a membership site. And there are thousands of people who sign up for this and pay thousands of dollars because they think that this is going to improve their life." And it's like church. You know, every day he'd be like encouraging us, giving us a pep talk on what you can do. And it was like inspiring. I was totally inspired. And it was like, I can do this for, you know, I was thinking like all these spiritual thoughts as he was talking, right? And I was like, this is just like church. This is very encouraging. I can go be a better person. And I'm thinking, I'm learning so much about evangelism from this person because he believes in what he is doing is changing the world. And he's making everybody else believe that they can change the world through business. How much do we believe in what we have? How much time and effort are we making to really plan how our children are going to be saved? How our community is going to be saved? How the world is going to be saved? How much time and effort are we putting into that? So, you see, that's why I don't believe and programs necessarily. I think programs are great and all of that, but what needs to happen is we need to believe in it with all of our hearts. When we talk to people, when we live our lives, everything, there can be no limit to the usefulness of us, because we put ourselves aside and we make room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts, and we live a life that's wholly consecrated to the Lord. Amen. Yesterday, I presented this quote, that love is the basis of creation and of redemption, and it is the basis of true education. Love. So you see, when your children go to school and they need to learn about the love of Jesus, how it can heal, it means that when we love Him with the whole strength and mind and heart, it means the highest development of every power. It means that in the whole being, the body and the mind, as well as the soul, the image of God is to be restored. Remember today, we talked earlier about fear and how it is the basis of many diseases. And what is the antidote to fear? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. If you are having fear, whatever insomnia or sadness or depression, whatever it is that causes you not to be able to move forward with courage, ask the Lord to show you love. The love that He has for you. And that love will go forward. You don't have fear when you think about saving your children, do you? If you had a burning house that your children were in, you wouldn't be like, where are the firefighters? Right? You would know how to save your kids. And it is the same thing when we are talking about how to live this life. God gives us our purpose because of love. Because He first loved us. And then He will give us a way to make this happen. Do not have fear. Have courage. And we will move forward with progress to the promised land. Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise You and we thank You for the promises that we have in Your Word. That we can trust what You say. That no matter what Satan has done in our lives, no matter what failures we feel, what regret, what sadness, what shame, Lord, we cling to Your promises that if anyone is in Christ, Lord, we can be a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Lord, I pray that for each of us today, we want to be new creatures in Christ. We want to be motivated, not by fear, but by love. And Lord, we want to have this vision that as we look into the future, we don't see the anxiety, depression, the things that Satan would burden us with, Lord. But we pray that we would see with heavenly vision that promised land and move forward with progress and bring other people with us. Thank You, Lord, for hearing and answering. In Jesus' name, amen.